I'm Kerry Miller, and it's time for our weekly conversation about politics with the political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, good to talk to you again. I've missed you. How have you been?
Who is this?
Don't stop.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kerry, I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Hey, you caught the last bit of that discussion, I think, that we had about campaign finance, right? You heard Emma, one of our guests, saying there's a lot of cases in the pipeline, and this is all part of a conservative agenda to really overturn these campaign finance limits. Do you agree with that?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, start with the Supreme Court. I mean, we saw it with Citizens United in 2010. We saw it with the recent McCutcheon decision about limits on how much people can give to candidates nationwide in total. And, of course, there are a lot of, starting with Clarence Thomas, there are members of the Supreme Court who say there shouldn't be limits at all. So right now you could only give $5,200 per candidate per election cycle. That's $2,600 in the primary, $2,600 in the general election. And now there's a strong effort to say, well, we should remove that as well. So, you know, for those who think that we should have more money in politics, I think they're going to get their wish. And that's the way it's looking so far.
You know, I'm interested to know how concerned you think American voters are about the issue. Or are they at the point of, I know money influences politics, I don't know what to do about it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, the Democratic Party thinks they have a winning issue. Harry Reid and the Democrats are constantly talking about the Koch brothers. I don't know if people in this country really know who the Koch brothers are. I know that people who listen to this kind of show and follow politics strongly, closely, know who the Koch brothers are and the influence money has on politics. And, of course, to be fair, I mean, both sides put in a ton of money, although it seems like conservative and right-wing-leaning groups have more money. But I don't know if it's a big issue, especially if people are looking, you know, the people who stop looking for a job because they've given up and people who are just discouraged about foreign affairs. I don't know how much campaign finance, how much of a role it plays in it. And, of course, if you look at 2012, well, President Obama had as much money, if not more money, than Mitt Romney. Ultimately, I don't know if it's a big issue, but for those who care about it, it's a major issue.
You mentioned conservative and right-leaning groups, and a op-ed in Politico today caught my eye from somebody who has been very activist in conservative politics, Richard Viguerie. Am I pronouncing his name right?
Viguerie, yes.
Viguerie, yeah. The headline said, John Boehner, we're coming for you. And in the op-ed, he writes, the GOP has been hijacked. That's right, hijacked. Over the past 100 years, an elite progressive minority has taken the Republican Party far afield from its conservative platform and the interests and values of its grassroots conservative base. And he seems to think that the speaker is part of the problem.
Well, there's no question that many people in the Tea Party, and Richard Viguerie, of course, had been around when there was no Tea Party. Richard Viguerie was instrumental in the moral majority in the 1970s before Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980. But there are, you know, just as there are many so-called establishment Republicans who think the Tea Party has moved the Republican Party so far to the right that they can't win independent and centrist voters anymore. There are, of course, Tea Party voters who say that the establishment has just become Me Too-ism. And, you know, we hear about the rhino Republicans in name only.
Right.
So Boehner, they say that Boehner has cooperated with Democrats too long. He's not pushing a strict conservative agenda. Boehner has criticized the Tea Party on many instances. And so there are people like Richard Viguerie and Ted Cruz and others who say that the way if the Republican Party is going to stand for anything, it should adhere to strong conservative principles, and John Boehner is part of the problem.
Now, this is our weekly conversation with Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Ken, can Boehner, no matter what happens in the midterms, even if the House is still held by the GOP,
everybody thinks it will be.
So can he survive the midterms,
well,
do you think?
Another question is, does he really want to? I mean, does he want it? It's just that he, you know, we keep talking about the pressures on President Obama from a progressive left who wants him to be more aggressive and confrontational, and those who say that you'd have to work with Republicans. Well, Boehner has it even worse because Boehner wants to get things done. In his heart of hearts, he believes that an immigration overhaul is necessary, for one, for the country to survive, and two, for the Republicans Republican Party to survive and things like that. But of course, every time you mention immigration overhaul, John Boehner hears the word amnesty and the sellout. So he is being assaulted by both sides of the Republican Party. And you wonder, you know, if it's really worth it anymore.
You know, we've checked in with you a lot on the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. And I want to do that again because Minnesota's MNsure, our health exchange enrollment deadline is Tuesday. In your view, can the president now say with some conviction, which he has been doing, that for all the rollout problems, the ACA has hit its goals and the problems are behind them?
Well, yes, if you're talking about the website problem and that those glitches, and that, I mean, that's a thing of the past. I don't think the Republican Party cares about that anymore. Yes, the president says it's a success. Yes, that our numbers of signups have been far greater than expected. 8 million signups. People who would not have had health care in the past, and a lot of young people are signing up. But the question is, remember, it's called the Affordable Care Act. Is it affordable? I mean, the question is whether the premiums are going to jump up tremendously, whether health care costs are going to rise tremendously. And by many understandings and studies, it looks like the cost will be rising. So the Republican Party thinks they have a winning issue here. And as long as the American people still feel torn about it, still feel that it's not exactly the panacea that President Obama and many people thought it could be, the Republicans think they have a winning issue. So, yes, Obama thinks he's going to go down to his dying political breath fighting for it, and the question is whether the Democratic Party will go along with him.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought up premiums. We talked about that last week on the show. So Democrats are going to have to argue if they want to counter what you've said the Republican line is by saying premiums were going up no matter what. They were going up between 10% to 12%. Now the predictions are, at least for this year and next, somewhere between 7% and 8%. You know, how well does an argument like that play? You're saving money, you're still spending more, but you're saving more than you would have, right?
I don't think it works at all. I don't think yeah. The argument is, it's going to cost you a lot, but their plan was worse, and ours will cost you. I think many Democrats think perhaps the issue is changing the subject. So let's remind people that the Republican Party is the party of the rich. Remind people that the Republican Party is the party that hates women and reproductive rights. Remind people that the Republican Party are the people who are trying to stop African Americans and minorities from voting with these ID restrictions. So perhaps the issue is maybe, I mean, this is a question whether Democrats have to decide a way they have to decide, but do you run in 2014 fully embracing the Affordable Care Act, or at least talking about the good parts, or do you hope to put the Republicans on the defensive by talking about minimum wage and unemployment extension and immigration overhaul and things like that?
Do you have a sense of which strategy they're leaning toward?
No, I don't. I mean, I've seen some senators like Kay Hagan in North Carolina, who's up, has a tough battle. She said, look, there are problems, and I'm working to fix it. A lot of Democrats are saying it's the right thing. They're, you know, with pre-existing conditions, you never would have had this before, but there are problems, and we're fighting to fix it. Unlike the Republicans, who are fighting to kill it, we're trying to make it better. So right now, I think they're torn about which way to go. And, of course, they're looking at the polls.
You know, I was also interested in whether you're seeing any sign that some of these states that have held out, Texas, I think South Carolina, some of the southern states who have not taken the Medicaid money and so don't have an exchange, whether there's going to be increasing political pressure to join in.
Well, I mean, the Democrats certainly hope so. One of the arguments that Wendy Davis is making in Texas,
right,
the likely Democratic candidate nominee for governor, she is a Democrat nominee for governor. She says that they're just, yes, it's a conservative state, but there are millions of people who are just going to go uninsured, and probably Texas has more people uninsured than any other state, and that's just unacceptable. Whether that plays politically in 2014 remains to be seen. Right now, she's trailing in her bid for governor.
Yeah, I haven't seen the polls lately in Texas, Ken. What do they look like?
She's down from anywhere between 7 and 10 points. I mean, the Republican Greg Abbott has made some mistakes, and of course we all know that demographics are changing rapidly in Texas, but perhaps not rapidly as rapidly enough for the Democrats.
There has been an explosion on social media about Chelsea Clinton's pregnancy. I mean, Ken, you know, and there has been some interesting talk about how the timing of a photograph of Hillary.
Oh, it was clearly about to help Hillary. There's no question. It's nothing to do with having a child. It's a plot to have Hillary Clinton as a lovable grandmother. But we're missing the point here.
Yeah.
Look, let's face it. It'll be Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush in 2016. Then it'll be Chelsea Clinton versus George P. Bush in 2020. If the baby's born in this fall, I figured out the baby will be 35 years old in 2049. There will be a Clinton versus some kind of Bush for president that year. I'll just mark my words.
And therein is the conspiracy theory from Ken Rudin.
Absolutely.
Ken, thanks much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Terry.